Good morning.
Good morning.
On this 4th of July weekend, may the 4th be with you. So this weekend, we have celebrated our 250th anniversary. It's a long time. But relatively speaking, we're still a very, very young nation. I remember 50 years ago when we celebrated the bicentennial. And you remember where you were and how old you were. I was just transitioning into high school. And of course, I wasn't that concerned about the bicentennial as I was going to high school. But this year, I'm very concerned about our nation, and I know that you are too. And the last 10 years, we feel like we have carried great burdens. And when I listened to the words of the gospel this morning of Jesus, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," it reminded me of the words of the poem about the Statue of Liberty, of "Bring me your huddled masses." And it's something that I think that the gospel can really speak to our soul this morning. Of "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In the vestry, every time we meet, we do Lectio Divina, which is the sacred reading of scriptures. And we listen to one another's reflections on the scripture. And we talked about the things that burden us. And so this morning, I invite you to bring your burdens forth in your mind. And what are the things that most burden you? Not just about your personal life, but as a citizen of this nation, what are the things that burden you? And how can we bring those to God, to surrender them? This past month, I've been looking at all of the art in our nave. And aimed to write a little review of each piece of art in our sanctuary. And so the first one that I have reflected on is our stained glass window of Jesus, and really looking deeply into what the designer had in mind. And I feel quite certain, because of the words, "Lo, I am with you always," that this emerged from chapter 28 of the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus is giving his last discourse to the disciples. He is commissioning them. And also in chapter 28 is the resurrection of Jesus earlier in the chapter. And that's how I discovered that the one on the left is Mary Magdalene. And most likely looks like she's holding an egg, which always symbolizes Mary Magdalene. And the one on the other side is the other Mary. But the one at the bottom, I wondered, who is this? She is not mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. But there is another Mary in all the other Gospels who is at the foot of the cross. And that is the mother of Jesus. And so it must be her who is kneeling before an empty cross, offering up her son, who has now died and risen, to preside over the cosmos as the sun and moon are beneath his feet. And so this act of surrender of all the people in the story of the Bible, what greater burden could there be than a mother to carry that burden of her son on a cross? And so she offers him, surrenders him to God's loving hands. And then that becomes a blessing for the world. If you'll remember back a few Sundays ago, we have that beautiful passage of the call of Abram, who's called to leave a land, to leave his family. And he and Sarah were barren, which means in their time that they were sort of shamed or shunned. In other words, they had no future. But nevertheless, they heed God's call and follow him. And God promises him that I will make you the father of many nations. So there are all of these characters in Scripture who model for us what it is to surrender or to let go. And we often have a hard time with that word, surrender. And I once asked a Benedictine nun about this. And, you know, told her, and she said, just remember you're surrendering to love. Nothing else. Just love. And so I think that's something that we can take with us on this weekend as we reflect on the state of our nation, the state of the world. It feels burdensome. And by surrendering, it doesn't mean that we are not called to be advocates or to take action. But we are called to take on the yoke of Christ and to allow Christ to transform what we feel we have no power over. The state of helplessness, I think, is the one that besets us most. Of what can I do? But to take on the yoke of Christ is a yoke of trust. And that in that, I look inward, that I can use all of the circumstances in my life for my inner work of transformation. every detail in our lives can help us evolve in the spiritual journey. It's not just a circumstance we have to endure, but in the Christian journey, everything is part of the fodder that helps us evolve into becoming Christ. Even politics, even unpleasant politics. I want to read to you a passage from a work by Jacob Needleman. And he is a philosopher at San Francisco State University. And he has done a great deal of reflection on the wisdom of our forefathers and the vision that they had for America. He says, within this vast body of teachings about humanity in the universal world, several elements stand out as critical for our understanding of the idea of America. One of the most central of these elements is the idea of the human being as a being who exists between two worlds, an inner world of great spiritual vision and power, and an outer world of material realities and constraints. Both worlds call to us, and as long as we live, we are obliged to give each its due. Our task, our place in the scheme of creation is to become conscious instruments of action on earth under the aegis of divine law and love. But in order to fulfill the role, we must work to transcend the sense of self-identity that society thrusts upon us and that prevents us from recognizing our own inner self and its power to serve the good. In this ancient teaching, freedom is understood not as the license to obey one's desires, but as obedient submission to a deep inner law. Independence is understood as the discovery of one's own authentic self, which, although it may seem paradoxical, it is also a mirror of the common cosmic selfhood. Equality is understood as every human being's right to seek the truth and to be allowed to give his or her light to the common welfare. So what Jacob Needleman invites us to do is that we have to stand between the material and the spiritual. And he affirms both. But we have to turn inwards to find that relationship with our deeper selfhood, our deepest, divine intersection. And it's from there that we are called to do good, to serve the highest good. And so it sort of, that's where we find the deepest rest, when we are true to our deepest nature. And that is our spiritual selves, in the sense that we are all, you know, all inhabited by the divine. There's where we find rest. There's where we find our daily guidance. And there's where we know how to discern in the moment what is most right and what is most just. But if we're not turning inward, we fail to listen to that voice. And we give in to our transient nature. We get caught up in all of the hostilities and the sides and all of those things that beset us and keep us from the narrow path. But we have to. This is not cooperating today. We have to listen to the voice of God within. And that's the yoke of Christ, is to meet Christ within. If we don't have that, we have nothing. It's everything to us. And in truth, we're invited to become one with God, and that oneness already exists. Our journey is realizing the oneness. And then we have rest. We have peace in the midst of chaos, and our light will shine and help lighten the burdens of everyone.